O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse unto thee. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen again to the words of the introit, beginning words of this Mass. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him and glorify him with length of days. These I will gratify him. I want to tell you a story about St. Padre Pio. Some of you know him well. Maybe he's your favorite saint. St. Padre Pio, when he was a young man, we know this from reading some of his writings and his letters, that he had a vision. He was a man of many extraordinary graces. In fact, every grace that you can imagine that any saint has ever had or possessed, Padre Pio had it to the nth degree. St. Padre Pio, we hear him writing about, in one of his letters, about a vision that he was given as a young man. And here are his words. For he had a great spiritual battle that was presented before him with a menacing demon that he had to face. He writes thusly, I was taken up by a majestic man of rare beauty, bright as the sun, to a very large field where on one side there were people dressed in white, spotless as snow, and on the other side there was a multitude with horrible faces, all dressed in black. The majestic man then turned to Padre Pio and said, You have to fight. You have to fight as a valiant warrior. I will be close to you, and as a reward for your victory, you will receive a splendid crown. St. Padre Pio tells us that at that point, the horrid, gigantic, formidable beast challenged him to a fight with a great cry of ardor. Out of fear, at least at first, the young saint, he refused to fight, thinking to himself, I'm not going anywhere near that creature. Who would blame him against such undaunting odds? He was just a poor monk, clad in a brown Franciscan habit, and he was facing an inhuman creature bred for war, clad in armor, towering in his strength. Not even Peter Jackson, armed with Middle Earth characters given by J.R. Tolkien, had anything on the ghastly horror before Padre Pio that day. And the majestic man steeled the boy. He said these words. He said, You have no choice in the matter. You must fight the monster. And with this, he urged Padre Pio into the fray. Fired by the bravery and the encouragement of the majestic man, St. Padre Pio began to square off for mortal combat against this menacing foe. He fought and he fought, and finally he overcame the monster. The little Franciscan Italian routed the colossal son of perdition. He so severely beat that menacing foe back, that demon, the gigantic creature, fled away screaming in fear, he says, like a little child. Then the majestic man of rare beauty, who was, of course, our Lord Christ, Jesus, he placed the crown upon the head of St. Pio. And he said to him these words, he said, I have reserved for you an even more beautiful crown than this. If you persevere in battle against the demon, this demon will assault you again. But never doubt, my help will always be close to you. My help will always be close to you. Have no fear. You'll have to square off against this very same foe again and again. We see this closeness. We see this closeness of the Lord God to us in the liturgy today. This, the first Sunday within Quadragesima, immediately after baptism, what does our Lord do? It says within the scripture that our Lord Christ is driven out into desert places to be tempted. That our Lord was there among the wild beasts 40 days without food and fasting and in orison. Remember what our Lord would later on say to his disciples after driving out demons. He said, it is barren deserts that the evil spirits go about when they're cast out to lurk, to seeking mischief in which to engage in the destruction of souls. From Matthew chapter 12, he says this. So when our Lord talks about going out, when he gives that command of where the demons are, he knows it from his own personal experience of doing battle with them immediately after his baptism. It is through the temptations of our Lord Christ that we learn how to do our spiritual battle. The temptations are our spiritual battles. The enemy of our human nature, that is the world, the flesh, and the devil, attacks us. But if we are victorious, we too will receive the crown of life. As St. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but also for those who have loved Christ at his appearing. The Lord Christ has been tempted like you and I in all ways and been victorious. As Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and following says, this means that Christ is able to fully sympathize with us in the moment of our weakness in the face of temptation. In the desert, Christ was hungry from his 40 days fast. Christ had human frustrations nagging on him at all times. Christ was humanly lonely out there within the desert. Our Lord Christ, he was tired and exhausted by the demands of living, just getting by within the desert living. And when he was at his weakest, this is the moment when the enemy came to tempt him. He didn't come a moment before when he was at that lowest place at the 40th day. Brethren, the same is true for us. It is no different. Immediately after our baptism, each and every one of us is driven by the Holy Ghost living within us, that's planted within us from that moment, into the desert, into the world, into the place where temptation and the demons lurk about. And this is the very reason why the church urges immediately, as soon after a child is born, you are to take that child for holy baptism. Because the devil lurks to destroy even our babies. He wants to get at us when we are young and defenseless. And if you're unbaptized, who is more undefenseless than these? Think of what our culture is trying to do with all these evil gender confusions, to get at them while they are still young, to put those doubts within them. They think of how they want to poison the minds of the young early and often. If they can inflict a wound, place a doubt then, if baptism can be delayed so that there's no spiritual armor against these deceits of the evil one, the destructive powers can all the more be deeply rooted within such souls. There are good reasons, though, why we suffer temptations. Our Lord Christ, he had to beat the devil's ploys. He had to show that Satan can be defeated. The abuse of his power was what he was first tempted with, to turn stones into bread. This was to tempt him toward that selfish nature, to use what he had only for himself. The abuse, again, came later. He was tempted to abuse his father's love, that is, to tempt God's providence, to say, let me cast myself out and see what God does if he's true to his name. This is what we're tempted to by presumption of God's graces, that he will rescue us even when we choose to do something silly and foolish. Again, he was finally tempted to abuse his mission in life, that is, to worship Satan, to avoid the cross. When we avoid the cross, we're falling in that same line. This is the temptation that each of us has toward laziness. The tempter comes at us when we are at our weakest, just as he came for the Lord at his weakest. He attacks us in the place where we are weakest. We see this in St. Ignatius. He gives us those rules for discernment of spirits. Pay attention to the 14th rule. All of them are great. We'll dwell only on this one today. The 14th rule states thus. He says, the enemy of our human nature attacks as a chief, bent on conquering and robbing what he desires. For as a captain and chief of an army, pitching his camp and looking for forces or defenses of a stronghold, he attacks it only on the weakest side. And so, in like manner, the enemy of our human nature, roaming about, looks inside us, to turn at all our virtues, the theological and cardinal and moral. And where he finds us weakest and most in need for our eternal salvation, it is there that he attacks us and aims at taking us. Think about your habitual sins. Think about those things that you constantly, time and time again, drive you into the confessional. Are you tempted when you're weak, or is it when you're strong? Are you tempted when you're well rested and have had a good night's sleep, or is it when you're exhausted and tired? Are you tempted when you are engaged in active participation in your work? Or is it when you're relaxed and taking a rest from all that you're supposed to be doing? Is it when you are early in the evening? Or is it when you're late at night, staying up past when you should normally already be in bed? Are you attacked when you are in the company of good persons? Or is it rather when you are alone or in bad company? Are you tempted against sins you easily rebuff? Or is it against things that you are so often falling into weakness? See, Satan, he isn't a dummy. He's absolutely a fool, but he is an evil, cunning, falsely prudent fool. He knows how to get us when we're at our weakest. He knows how to lure us by the things which appeal to us. So when we feel temptation to view a bad movie or to look at impure things or to do what the good popes of old called the private sin, when we are tempted to use bad language or to critically judge motives or to be jealous of others, when we're tempted to talk about others, whether it be priests or bishops or those in authority even within the church, or to lie or to cheat or to steal because it's easier than going through the more difficult ways. None of these things, when the temptations are presented against us in the moments in which they are accidental. These are spiritual battles intensely and intentionally pitched against us. But realize something, temptations, they are not sins. We can be terribly tempted and never have sinned a single time. The temptation is the attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil, the enemy of our human nature. It can only harm us, that is, it is only sinful if we allow it through the consent of our will. Temptations, they are opportunities for you and I to grow and to show the love of God, that it's really true within us. By resisting Satan, we can put him to shame. He makes himself seem that he's big. He makes himself seem that he's strong and menacing. And in truth, Satan is bigger and stronger and more formidable than any of us here within the flesh are. But what was Padre Pio's secret weapon? Padre Pio's secret weapon was our Lord Jesus. It really is Jesus. That is the secret weapon that he had, and we have the very same, that he would be close by. That was the promise of the Lord. Our Lord Christ, he is always close by. He is always waiting to give us his divine aid. When Padre Pio resisted, the evil one ran away like a frightened little child. It'll be the same for you and I. If we recognize the power that we have with our Lord Christ close by, that is, he's within us. As the saints say, our Lord Christ is closer to you than you are even to your own self. He knows your inmost being, for he stitched it into existence before the foundations of the world, as is said in the beginning of the prophet Jeremiah's writings. St. Paul reminds us of this very fact in 1 Corinthians 10:13. What does he say? He says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common unto mankind. And God is faithful. He is faithful in that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you yourselves can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Don't we see this within the gospel? We see there that what was beside our Lord Christ immediately after Satan fled away, after he turned tail because our Lord resisted his temptations, what do we see appear next to him? The angels. The angels appeared there right next to him, and they began ministering unto him immediately when Satan fled. They came there to soothe him. They came there to take care of him. They came to feed him in his weakened state. Think about this critically. Did those angels just magically, instantly appear in that instance? Because the battle of Satan was raging too much that they kept back? Absolutely not. That's a foolish way of thinking about things. The angels were there by the side of Christ all the time. They were with him always. When Satan said, the angels have been given charge over you to carry you in all your ways so that you won't even dash your foot against a stone, there were angels right there. Angels right there. Our Lord Christ could see them. He knew that they would do that. The angels were there all the time, alongside. There were throngs of devils there too, but throngs more of angels. See, brothers and sisters, the invisible battle is going around us at all times. But what does John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 say? It says, but he who is in us is always greater than he who is here within the world. Satan was right when he quoted Psalm 90 against Christ. He said to his angels, God has given them command about you that they'll guard you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But realize that he did not quote the very next line of Scripture. And there's a reason why he didn't. I'll give it to you now. The very next line was, you shall tread upon the asp and the viper. You shall trample down the lion and the dragon. Now, isn't that interesting? That Satan would leave those words out. That he wouldn't quote the fact that he himself, the ancient serpent, was going to get his head crushed. It's because Satan doesn't want us to remember that part. He's cunning. He knows Scripture well. He also knows what parts to leave out so that we don't think about them. What does he say in the rest of that? It says within that psalm which we had in the beautiful tract of today's Mass, it said, because he clings to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he acknowledges... I will set him on high because he acknowledges my name. It is then that he will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him there in the great moment of his distress. I will deliver him and glorify him, and with length of days I will gratify him. I will show him my salvation. See, brothers and sisters, this psalm, Psalm 90, the tract of this Mass, it wasn't put there just to be a long, beautiful time for our amazing choir to sing. It's something that should be in the very heart of what we do during times of temptation, which is what Lent is, the 40 days. Memorize this passage. Put it before yourself so that you know where your strength can be found. Our Lord is an ever-ready help to those who are in need if they but call upon him. God wishes to come to our assistance, as we spoke about last time. He wishes to make haste unto help us. Let that prayer be always upon your lips. The epistle said today in today's Mass, it opened with this, quote, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. Brothers and sisters, now is that acceptable time, the time of your temptation. Now is the moment which he wishes to make haste unto help you. You see, the grace of God given to you in your baptism is powerful. It is incredibly powerful. What is this grace of baptism entitled to everyone who has been baptized into his name? It entitles you to the absolute, full, complete, and undivided attention of God Almighty at every moment. It entitles you to the aid of the angels and the saints at every instance. It entitles you to the very holy power released in the sacrifice of the Mass, where the blood of our Lord, which cries out more eloquently than that even of innocent Abel, is available to you because it is ceaselessly offered all throughout the world in every moment. You have access to this. Make use of it. Let our Lord bring his power down upon you. Never cower before the temptation of the devil, because he is so weak in comparison to the great graces that are at store for you. There's no reason to run, unless it is to the arms of our dear Savior. Let me give you a practical step of what to do. This is taken from the great theologian Tanqueray. He writes that there are three things that we must do to conquer temptation. First is to forestall temptation, that is to delay it. Second is to do battle against it when we must. And thirdly is to thank God after victory and to rise quickly after we fall, should we do so. On the first point, first, vigilance and prayer are required for you and I to forestall temptation. Regarding vigilance, we assert that presumption that compels us to place ourselves unnecessarily in the midst of temptation, it must be avoided, as must vain terrors which increase the danger and harmful occasions of sin, persons, places, things, and events. When we pray the Our Father, we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Then why is it that we run so heedlessly into it? The Lord does not lead us into temptation. Why do we run into it? Keep vigilant that we may not go to those places where we know we easily fall prey to temptation. When prayer is added to vigilance, the words of the Father, Father Tanqueray, as he says it, he says, we become, quote, invisible. God is concerned in our success, for he is whom the devil assails in us. It is the work which he would wreck within us. The only reason Satan attacks you and I is because he wishes to swipe at God. And so when we are immersed in prayer, we become invisible to the temptations of the evil one. The second point is that his resistance against temptation is indispensable. Serious temptation must be confronted. It must be confronted in these ways: promptly, without hesitation, energetically, with determination and strength, perseveringly, with tenacity. And it must be confronted humbly, which, quote, attacks grace, and grace gives you and I the victory. So we have to go to temptation as soon as it hits. Don't wait for temptation to settle in, to play with it within your thoughts. When it comes to you, strike back immediately, and then it will be repulsed. Do so energetically with your strength and determination and strength. Don't say, well, maybe later I'll give in, or I remember that late at another time I fell. Put those thoughts beyond you. And do so with perseverance and tenacity. Keep going, but always with humility, recognizing that in your strength you don't have it to resist. But you know where your strength comes. Run to that. And thirdly, temptation is vanquished by means of the blessed person. Must render thanks to God and gratitude to God Almighty, from whom he derives all the conquest. See this. Sin surrendered and is an invitation to the repentant sinner to humble himself sincerely before God, to acknowledge his inability to do any good on his own, to place his trust in God, to be all the more cautious about his inabilities, and therefore to return back actively to the practice of penance. For a fault that is prepared in this way, that is repaired in such a fashion, will not constitute a serious obstacle to perfection. You see, when we turn back to God, when we don't remain within our sin, which is what it always wants us to do, to be beaten down and then to sin again and again repeatedly, because as sin tells us over and over again, why resist any longer? We've already failed anyway. That's what sin says. But God turns us back to himself and says, come, sinner, out of your mire of the sin which you're in. Don't roll around in the mud any longer. My grace reaches out to you even now. Can you not see that I'm here to pull you even from that place? Brothers and sisters, never forget that you are not alone in temptation. Just as Padre Pio had to face the battle that he was engaged in, so you and I must face the battle of temptation every single day. There's no way out of it. But to realize that our Lord says, I will be with you. And when I am with you, you can conquer all these things. When St. Pio engaged within the battle, no matter how difficult it raged, our Lord was always there. And that large beast went away like a little child running in fear. So too is the evil one when we face him with God at our back. For as it says within Scripture, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so, if that is the truth, what need we fear in the midst of temptation? So therefore, forestall that temptation as long as you can through prayer and vigilance. Don't go anywhere near those places where you find yourself falling in the past. When you're faced with it, yes, do battle against it. But when you've recovered from that place, when you've been successful, first give thanks to God who gave you the grace to do so. But even if you've fallen, turn to God in penitence, and then give thanks to him for showing you how weak you are and how deep you are in need of his grace, which is always close to those who call upon him with sincerity of heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.